There would be nothing illegal or even improper about this managed timing if it were linked to a rigorous internal counting system such as ExxonMobil possessed, if the counting conformed to SEC rules, and if the results were communicated honestly to investors and the public. Characteristically, ExxonMobil's internal system may have been the most rigorous in the industry, although neither the SEC nor any other regulator had the capacity to confirm that through auditing. Also characteristically, the corporation rejected the precepts of government regulators and communicated in public on its own terms. Besides the SEC rule that prohibited the counting of oil sands, the other regulation that galled Raymond was the one dictating how a corporation should determine whether proved reserves were economically viable. The commission said the assessment should be made based on prices and costs as of the date the estimate is made. For annual reserve counting, this meant, according to the SEC, that the viability of reserves should be judged against prices on the last day of the year, December 31st. Raymond thought that was dumb. ExxonMobil ran its business by thinking about price ranges and averages, not one arbitrary day's price. So in public and to Wall Street, he used his own system of average prices to calculate whether reserves should be counted. After the Shell scandal, the SEC intervened against this spinning and issued new guidance to ExxonMobil, saying that it should use the year-end pricing rule, at least in commission filings. Raymond now reported the SEC number alongside his own. For the first 2 years, the consequences of following SEC regulations were highly unfavorable, amounting to a total reduction in ExxonMobil's proved reserves of oil and gas liquids of 1.27 billion barrels, or almost a year's worth of production. Even as he noted the SEC-mandated numbers, Raymond went right on issuing claims that ignored the rule. With other industry executives, he also initiated a Washington lobbying campaign to have the rules changed. In some later years, if ExxonMobil had followed the SEC rules, the corporation's reserve replacement figures would have been higher than under its own system of counting. It would have looked better. The corporation ignored the advantageous swings in the same way that it ignored the disadvantageous ones. Overall, the two rules ExxonMobil seemed to find most onerous, the oil sand prohibition and the pricing formula, deprived the corporation of the claim that it had smoothly replaced reserves year after year since Raymond became chief executive. The picture under SEC rules, instead, was not one of disastrous decline, but of volatility, which implied a degree of change and insecurity in the reserve arena, which in turn happened to reflect a broader truth about the condition of major international oil corporations. On the specifics of his rule jihad, Raymond certainly had a case on the merits. The SEC prohibition of oil sands could be regarded as outdated, and the pricing rule could be dismissed as too arbitrary. Investors might benefit from revisions that better aligned SEC regulation with the changing pattern of the oil industry, which included the rising importance of oil sands. ExxonMobil's position would have been more defensible, however, if it had communicated to investors and the public more forthrightly, in alignment with SEC regulations, while it petitioned for regulatory change. Exxon seems incapable of simply stating, "We did not replace all of our reserves this year, but we have a heck of a lot of reserves anyway, and we convert them into cash at a more efficient and consistent rate than any of our competitors," wrote Steve Levine, the journalist and analyst who first called attention to the gaps in ExxonMobil's public reporting. Nope, it has to say it's replaced its reserves for 10 years straight when, legally speaking, it hasn't. The Dodge reflected on how the need for reserves pushed the corporation toward higher risk frontiers, Chad, Equatorial Guinea, and deep ocean waters, where drilling technology and safety procedures had to be re-engineered on the fly. The reserve replacement conundrum pushed the corporation, too, toward unconventional resources like the Canadian oil sands, where innovation and uncertain new drilling techniques would be required to make money at the rate ExxonMobil executives and shareholders expected, and where the environmental risks were higher than normal. It also led Lee Raymond to reflect regularly on whether it might be possible to find a new way back into the huge oil zones where abundant crude could make reserve counting rules irrelevant, as they had been for Exxon and Standard Oil for so much of the 20th century, when the corporation was awash in equity oil in the Middle East. Above all, any global oilman thinking big coveted access to Saudi Arabia. And Raymond thought big.